So thank you all for coming to the next session of the Rakhuk Kabbara. So this week we're going to deal with the second part, or it's going to be a second part of the Tshuva and Rakhuk. In order to get background for what we're going to do this week, we sort of have to remember the general theory from last time. So since it was 2 weeks ago, and I assume as opposed to I assume that people haven't really been thinking about the themes over the course of the 2 weeks, opposed to me, who's been like, you know, obviously preparing this straight. So just a 2-minute summary of what we saw last time, and then we'll extend that to stuff this week. So basically, Rav Kook proposed that tshuva, in its broadest sense, in its truest sense, is not really just a reaction to chait. That you do a chait, you're a bad person, you have to fix yourself, so you have to do tshuva. Tshuva is this cosmic process that takes the world from the point of creation, when it was X far away from God, constantly moving it closer and closer and closer to God, until the ultimate point of reunification, which is going to be Moshe Mashiach, Olam Haba, or whatever it is. And this process as a whole was referred to as tshuva, and everything in the world as a whole, and each individual aspect of the world, is constantly being metakin itself, constantly rising, up to the point of that ultimate reunification. And tshuva that we speak about, when you do a chait and you do tshuva, is basically a person who is part of this process, part of this movement towards God, part of this spiritual height, spiritual growth. He did a chait, he removed himself from that process. Tshuva is simply the way he puts himself back in the process in the natural process of the rest of the universe. So tshuva of the individual is putting yourself back into that cosmic process. And last week we sort of dealt with the broader issues, the cosmic tshuva, what people refer to as tshuva ta'olam. And this week we're going to focus on the effects that have on the experience of tshuva of each individual person. Because the more you think of tshuva in that broad sense, and your individual tshuva as one manifestation of that, is obviously going to have ramifications and nafkaminos of the way you experience tshuva and what the ultimate goal of tshuva should be. So last week we started dealing with some of these issues, and this week we're going to expand on them. So basically, we're just going to go through a list of issues, of nafkaminos, of ramifications of this approach to tshuva. The first one is how one should approach tshuva in general. What should one's attitude towards tshuva be? So theoretically, you could say that a person did a chait. So you're thinking, look, I'm a bad person now. It's very hard for me to fix myself. It's going to be insurmountable for me to get back to my former level of spiritual heights. So for Rav Kook, that's obviously not going to be the case. Because a person's natural state of being is part of this cosmic process, a person naturally is part of this movement towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the chait is something that's unnatural. It breaks up the natural order. So returning yourself to the natural order is going to be something that's completely natural. It's completely muvan me'ilav. It's not going to be something that's insurmountable, not something that's going to be so daunting. So let's just read it inside for a second, the first piece. Rav Kook says as follows, Hatshuva hi tamid shuriya b'leiv. Tshuva is always there inside a person. Afilu b'eis hachit atzmo, hatshuva gnuza hi b'neshama. Shuva is constantly there. Meaning, the person is constantly ready. The person is part of this process of moving closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even when a person sins, he knows that deep down, he's part of this process. Really, what he should be doing is moving closer to Hashem. Tshuva precedes the chait because tshuva is the basic point of all of creation. So what's the nafkamina? Alkein, ein davar betuach b'olam kama tshuva. Tshuva is the most sure thing in the world. V'sofa kol litzkon, letikon, sorry, l'shuv letikon, v'kavachomer sh'yisrael muftachim v'omdim lasos tshuva. Basically, everybody should always realize that there are omid and roi to do tshuva at every single moment. That's their natural state of being. That's where they should be. That's where they want to be, and that's where they should be. And that's the way they were created. Therefore, a person shouldn't approach tshuva something that's insurmountable, something that's daunting, something that's necessarily hard to do. You're breaking your natural state by moving away from your chatayim. Tshuva is a natural process. You should approach tshuva with a certain sense of surety and confidence in your ability to do tshuva, because really that's where you should be, that's really your natural state. So that's point one. Point one is the way you approach tshuva. You should do it from a sense of surety and confidence. Another nafkamina, a related point. You can ask questions, Ariel, if you want. Again, a lot of the ideas are found in earlier sources. The Chiddush of Rav Kook is in terms of emphasis, orientation, and sometimes extremity. So yeah, this idea is found in earlier pieces. I think Jonathan Cohen pointed out that almost every single idea we've seen so far is seen in earlier sources. Rav Kook isn't like being Machadish America here. It's just it's sort of more of a guide. The second one also is the emotions one should feel, one does feel when he does tshuva. Again, from a theoretical perspective, the emotions associated with tshuva could be very negative ones. Maybe not negative, but down ones. You have moroseness, you have depression, you have guilt, you have regret. All of the emotions that psychologists tell us not to focus on. But for tshuva, what could you do? It's necessary. You have to feel remorse. You have to feel morose. You have to feel regret. So for Rav Kook, those things are true as well. Those emotions definitely have their place in tshuva. But the overall experience of tshuva shouldn't be something that pulls you down. Shouldn't be something that leaves you at an emotional low. Because tshuva is this process to which you're not breaking yourself, you're simply returning yourself to your natural to your natural place in the universe. Therefore, tshuva is, sof kol sof, should be a very happy experience. It should be something you're very shalim with. It should be something that elevates you and leaves you walking away happy and not necessarily a more depressed person. So this is something Rav Kook returns to a number of times in Arota Tshuva. One piece where he describes both the tsar and the simcha in terms of things we spoke about is the following piece. It says, Olam kulo malehu harmonia. The world is full of harmony. Everything fits together. Basically, everything is part of this one big unit of godliness. The internal voice of a person telling him what to do, telling him to do X, Y, or Z, stems from this, from the rest of the universe, stems from the entirety of God's creation. Because everything in the world is interconnected. Your inner voice, your inner consciousness, stems from the rest of the universe. Great. Therefore what? What does this have to do with tshuva? The bolded part. Kol ketisa musarit b'rayonu v'ma'aseh, b'tukuna v'mezeg, guremet chatikot rabot, shemiviyot yisurim rabim pnimiyim, l'chol ma'achay ad ha'shama. Sheisodam shel yisurei ruach eva, hu kuach hamarid shel siluk orach hayim shel sidur klali shel hafaya, Kula, a classic run-on Rav Kook sentence. What he's saying is that, therefore, what is chetu? When you do a chet, you're removing yourself from the rest of the axis of creation. All of creation fits together. It's all accomplishing a certain purpose together. When you do a chet, you're removing yourself from that. So the tsar of a chet, the fact that the person feels unsettled, or Rav Kook assumes a person feels unsettled when he does chatayim, when he does something that's immoral, is because you're breaking yourself off from the rest of creation. You're created as being part of this broader picture. You do a chait, you're stepping out of that system, and then you're individualizing yourself. You're compartmentalizing yourself from everything else. You're breaking off parts of your being, things that used to be connected. So the chait is what causes that tsar, and that's the source of the tsar of chait. So what does tshuva do then? Tshuva is a tikkun. Tshuva, once again, is seeing yourself, putting yourself back into that broader system. Therefore, the more tshuva you do, the more shalem of a person you become, and therefore the happier you become. It's the opposite imagery that some people use. Some people use the imagery that you do chatayim, the chatayim become part of you. Tshuva is cutting away at part of your personality, cutting away at part of who you are. Rav Kook also says that's definitely part of it in a practical level. But in terms of the broader scheme of things, the perspective, how you should be viewing things, it's just the opposite. The chait is something that cuts you off from the rest of creation. It narrows who you are. Tshuva is a thing that broadens you. Tshuva is a thing that builds you more, that connects you back to everything else. And therefore, you walk away from tshuva with a much more shalem feeling, not with a feeling of depression and moroseness. You might need those as motivating factors, but it's not the ultimate goal of tshuva. Again, whether or not anybody ever said you should walk away from tshuva being depressed and morose is an issue of discussion. There are definitely some people who seem to say things in that direction. So let's just finish off this paragraph. The more pure you are, the more the chait is going to affect you. Because the more pure you are, the more you feel this interconnection between different parts of the bria. Therefore, the chait, which breaks you off from other parts of the bria, is going to be more felt. Tshuva is a thing that quiets your pain. And the last couple of lines. Until the different parts of your neshama once again are reunited through the process of tshuva. And Rav Kook takes this one step further, that there are passages where he says that let's say you do chataim and you feel very bad about yourself. So, great. So you're feeling very bad about yourself. So Rav Kook is, even in that process of feeling bad about your chataim, looks for ways to elevate that, looks for ways to view that besimcha. So he says as follows. The very fact you feel bad, you're sensitive enough to feel bad about the fact you did chataim, itself reflects the fact that you have an neshama, reflects the fact that you're still basically a good person. And that should be a motivating factor to then go ahead and reunite with the rest of creation through this process of tshuva. So even in the deepest, darkest depths of depression or rechait, you should still be looking for that nukuta tahora, that point which shows that you're still a pure person, and build up from there to reconnect to everything else. Great. So that's in terms of the approach one should have when somebody starts doing tshuva, and the emotions one feels while experiencing tshuva. That's one and two. Three and four are more in terms of, again, narrowness versus broadness. And we'll go through them one by one. Source number three discusses something Rav Kook refers to as ratzon. We're going to see later on in the year, hopefully, that Rav Kook uses the word ratzon in many different contexts, but it's something that's very important to his thought in general. In this context, it seems to mean something like in the person's drive, a person's ambition, a person's life force, a person's vitality. So those things are described by a ratzon. And the ratzon, obviously, then, could be used to tov v'ra. You could use your vitality, use your ambition, your life source for bad things. You'd be very ambitious for bad things. You could also be very ambitious for good things. So Rav Kook is bothered by the following issue. That sometimes, if you do tshuva, you're beating yourself up. You're saying, I'm a bad person, I regret it, v'kulei, v'kulei, v'kulei. So in order to step away from the chait, you have to do that to the part of you, or to those aspects of you that cause the chait. So you have to be mevatel the ratzon for the chait. Great. So that's what you have to do. So in and of itself, that's fine. But sometimes that's going to have a spillover effect to the ratzon for everything else in the world. Your ambition in general, your drive in general, your vitality is going to be sucked out by the koach ha-tshuva. Your tshuva is going to be so powerful against the bad aspects of your personality, they're just going to quiet you in general. It's going to make you one of those people who just sits in a corner and doesn't do anything all day. So that's a problem Rav Kook is worried about with tshuva in general, and he has a couple of pieces about it. So here's one of the ways he deals with it. So source number three. Ha-tshuva makol ha-lichot ha-masiyot shala imurach ha-kladet shal sholetet bikarab yamim ha-miyuchadim ha-tshuva im godo ha-to'elet shala zakei ka-nefashad et nefashad dot 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 end of the line himukrakat liyot sofeget ima ezel kosha shalom nimlat mimena afilo ha-gibor shal b'giborim. Rav Kook says the environment of Elul and the first half of Tishrei is an environment that's malei v'safog with kedusha, with tshuva, but it's impossible to walk away from it without any sort of weakness in your personality. You have to beat yourself to a degree. You have to say what you did was wrong. You have to fix yourself. But for Rav Kook, this is a problem. When you narrow, when you limit this the source of vitality, a sense of ambition, when you start feeling bad about what you did, and thereby stop trusting yourself in terms of your initiative and your ambition, it's very hard to compartmentalize that dafka to the bad things and not to the good things. And your sense of vitality and life force for good things, your ambitions to do good, your sense of dreaming and aspirations, might also be limited. So therefore, what do we have to do? Rav Kook says, the process of tshuva doesn't end with Yom Kippur. Shavim al kein yomim shel simchas kodesh, shel chadvas ha-nefesh, nekomim et ha-ratzon ha-tov, uz ha-chayim ha-tahor, vatziya ha-tshuva ha-tshuva ha-shleima. Tshuva doesn't end with Yom Kippur. Tshuva ends with Sukkos. We need the days of Sukkos, which are days of simcha, which are days of an aliyah and ruchnius, to properly balance out our tshuva. If we ended on Erev Yom Kippur, or we ended on Yom Kippur, you might lose your ambition, your aspirations, and your dreams for Tov. Requires some type of balance. Sukkos, which is the days of simcha, friendship, getting together, whatever it is, in order to properly cultivate once again the ratzo and the ambition and the drive that might have been weakened through tshuva. And that's the tshuva shlema. Tshuva shlema requires you to have the full ratzo and not to knock out different parts of your personality. Hey, Jonathan?
Does it sound like the opposite of the Rebbe's catharsis?
It could be.
He's saying this is a negative thing, right? Restricting yourself, limiting yourself, he's saying that's not a, he's saying that's something that needs to be overcome.
He's saying that, in a way, yeah, I mean, certain parts of you have to be restricted in order to be Megala the true you. Once you're knocking stuff away, it's kind of a spillover effect. And therefore, the you has to be further developed. We're going to get to the you again in a second. So that's one way that tshuva has to be broadened to develop the Ratzon HaTov. Another way tshuva has to be broadened, another possible negative effect of tshuva, which means tshuva can't be completed at this stage, is in terms of one's relationship to the rest of the world. This is the next piece in 4. Hatshuva kadma liolam, lefika kol yisod haolam, the same idea we've been discussing. Shneimotam shel hachayim, hitafka im hemshich hitkalutam, api tivam hatzmi. Life is supposed to be natural. Rav Kook is saying that because tshuva kadma liolam, means everything in the world is part of this process of helping the world advance towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore everything in the world is by its very nature positive, has positive elements to it. Here Rav Kook is saying something fascinating. Similar to the fact that you might have a bittul the ratzon hatov through cutting away the bad aspects of your personality, tshuva for many people, a necessary part of tshuva, is cutting away at your indulgements or your encounters with things in this world. You seclude yourself to the base medrash, you seclude yourself to the base knesses, you stop walking around the streets, you stop encountering or engaging things outside of the da'at amos shalach and shal tefillah. Which is great. That's something that's a necessary step for tshuva. But if tshuva stops there, Rav Kook says, Zeu atzmo cheta yoter gadol. That in itself becomes a chet. Because you're not understanding what tshuva is all about. You're not understanding that the purpose of stopping your chatayim is dafka to embrace the wider world, to embrace the wider world and its journey is to get back to Hashem. And the psukim you quote, the psukim by the nazir, the keeper Allah, me'asher chata al nefesh. Akena tshuva metakenet at the kilkul maksira to olam nechayim korot, until you lead a completely natural life. Rav Kook's relationship to the natural world is something we'll discuss at a greater detail later on. It's interesting. A lot of these themes we're talking about here are probably going to become independent chaburas. Each one is an issue in and of itself. Rav Kook thinks all of this is incorporated in tshuva. Okay. So far we have your attitude when you approach tshuva, the emotions of the tshuva experience, the ratzon hatov, and natural world. The next thing is what we touched on before, about the subjectivity, about how tshuva is supposed to fix you as an individual. For Rav Kook, granted everything in the world as a whole, as a unit, is walking back towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, But because Hashem made different people differently, he made different objects, he didn't make a monotonous world, that means each individual person, each individual object, as it's created, is necessary for the process to continue. It's necessary for the world to reunite with Hashem. And therefore, if tshuva meant becoming monotonous, tshuva meant cutting away at your personality and not following your natural netios to the nth degree, meaning to the proper degree that Hashem wants you to, then you're not fully doing tshuva. Because tshuva means returning yourself to your place in this cosmic order. Hashem made you who you are because he needs you as you are, with your natural netios, with your natural kokos and characteristics, to help advance the world. And that's going to be reflected in tshuva. So there are two paragraphs here. The second one is probably more fascinating. We'll read the first one. Baal Torah ino takana takanat tshuva ki'im v'torah v'idea Torah. Baal makshava pnimet ino tshuva ki'im makshava zu v'idea makshava zo. Different people have to do different things. If you're somebody who's a lamdan, somebody who's koma huso, or that almost out almost alacha, that should be the focus of your tshuva. If your natural netiya is towards the base medrash, so then your tshuva is to engage yourself more in the base medrash. That's what's going to get you back to your natural state. If you're what Rav Kook calls a baal makshava pnimit, you're somebody who's a kabbalist, one of these free thinkers, somebody who does something else other than da'at al mashal alaka, then the emphasis in your tshuva is going to be engaging more fully in that. Engaging more fully in the positive aspects of your natural netios is going to be the best way for you to return to who you truly are to help that cosmic process along. And the next piece, the next paragraph, of Cook says that there are two parts of tshuva. There's tshuva tata, the lower level of tshuva, which he says is basically tshuva which is oriented to the rest of the world, meaning changing your actions, changing your behavior patterns, getting to shul on time, learning more, not saying lashon hara, v'kulei. So that tshuva is the same for everybody. It's the common denominator, tshuva. What he calls tshuva ila is tshuva be'ad atzmo, returning to yourself, returning to who you are as a person, returning to the way God created you. So if you're the type of person, he says, this type of tshuva is going to be memayi b'maisim, memar b'makshava. You're not just going to be able to get to shul on time, and with that, do this tshuva ila. And tshuva ila requires you to sit down and think, who am I as a person? What are my natural netios? And how does Hashem want me to use those in the proper way? Great. So just to summarize, those are maybe four or five different ramifications or aspects of tshuva for Rav Kook, which flow directly from this broader sense of tshuva. The tshuva is part of this cosmic process. Great. So far, we've discussed tshuvat ha'olam, the cosmic process, and tshuvat ha'adam, which is individual person's tshuva and how the two relate. A third circle of tshuva, Rav Kook discusses in Orot HaTshuva, is what people refer to as tshuvat Yisrael, this tshuva of Am Yisrael as a whole. So you have the cosmic one, you have the individual one, and then you have a national one. Rav Kook saw the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael in a physical sense, and what he hoped or what he predicted or what he tried to lead, the spiritual and cultural revival of Jewishness for Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael as a manifestation of this tshuva. Because once again, the world is advancing, the world is getting towards a point of reunification. Part and parcel of that process is Am Yisrael reassuming its natural role in the world, which requires there to be a physical nation of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael with a Jewish spiritual life and a Jewish culture. So everything you're doing to advance that helps advance this cosmic process, and therefore it's going to be part of the process of tshuva. There's a nice quote, which people like quoting, that Rav Kook has in a letter to Rav Yaakov Moshe Karlap. This is a letter, Shin Ayin Ches, it's the seventh source. This letter is actually about the Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook is writing to Rav Yaakov Moshe Karlap that he wants to put together a book on tshuva, and he goes through the major concepts, goes through the major themes that are going to be part of his book. And a lot of the things that are in that letter are things to be discussed. So then afterwards he has this line. If somebody wants to be machadish things about tshuva nowadays, and he doesn't look to Ketz and Megula, the things that are happening in Eretz Yisrael, you can't actually understand things properly. Kikol's man mayor between ato, was every time period shines with its own characteristics. Meaning tshuva for Rav Kook is a process of returning the world to its ultimate point of reunification with Hashem. Each stage along that process has its own things that are necessary to advance to the next stage. Stage one isn't like stage two. Stage two isn't like stage three. Similar to the Jewish history thing that Rav Kook had, different time periods had different emphases in their avodas Hashem. So for Rav Kook, in order to properly understand tshuva, which is tshuva in this broad sense, we have to understand what's happening in Eretz Yisrael. Now is the time period when all these processes are accelerating and advancing, and therefore this broader type of tshuva has to be embraced. And in Eretz Yisrael, in Perek Gizayin, which is the last parak, he discusses the physical return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. He points out that the psukim of tshuva and nitzavim are intertwined with the psukim of returning of the physical return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. The Torah uses the word v'shavta in both senses. But more importantly for us, in terms of the physical return, he discusses like a cultural and spiritual revival. Spiritual revival, I think we understand, meaning the return of Torah, the return of a certain sense of Ashras HaShkina that's been lacking. But he also talks about something which I found very interesting, a revival of literature and arts. But he focuses more on literature. And one aspect of that is actually literature about tshuva. So here's the eighth source. V'kshei tshuva b'kol hod yifatam. These feelings of tshuva and all their beauty, and all of their internal, whatever the word, I can't think of a good English word, these things have to be expressed in literature. In order that the generation of revival, meaning his generation, should learn about the importance of tshuva, in a way that's alive, from full vitality, and then they'll be able to return properly. The kum yakum lanu mishara tshuva. The poet, the singer of tshuva, should arise one day. Shuya mishara chayim, mishara tchia, mishara tshana shamah lumento lakad ligayal. And he will sing, he will write poetry, he will write literature about the process of revival, the process of tshuva of the individual, the process of tshuva of the nation, and the process of tshuva of the world as a whole. And scholars debate whether or not Rav Kook saw himself as his, you know, as being this Mishora Tshuva, so whatever. And just I think a nice way to end is a poem Rav Kook himself actually wrote about Tshuva. It's the bottom thing. In the newer edition of Rota Tshuva, you'll find it in the back. It's a poem he wrote somewhere, or published somewhere, but they put it in the back of these new editions. I guess I'll just read it together in Hebrew. Mishora Tshuva Hanula Tzakfar. Doesn't add so much content, but it's just beautiful. Meaning, Rav Kook is there waiting for somebody to come down and properly express the meaning of tshuva, the beauty of tshuva, what tshuva means for the individual, for the nation, and therefore for the world as a whole. And here at Zone, that the Mishora Tshuva should come again in our generation. Thank you.